Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Motzi Shabbos, but I'm finished my lecture series, so I can talk now. For some reason, some people are interested in Italy and especially Mantua, that I've been talking about lately, and I may speak more about that this week. This Moscato thing is like growing a little bit, which is fine. And I also particularly want to respond to the fact that I see Genazim is coming out with a new catalog. They just sent me in the mail. It's Genazim, it's Genazym, the auction house, which is having a sale, let's see now, March 3 and March 5, Sunday, March 3rd, 2024, and Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. So what's in a couple weeks? Today is February 10th, so, you know, a little less than a month. Again, it's March 3 and March 5. So you look, if you're interested, you look it up, if you can afford to be a player. And what caught my attention, since he sent it to me in the mail, was that on the front cover, or the back cover perhaps, they're offering this parchment sitter in Ashkenazic ritual. That was a very fancy sitter, which I'll describe in a second. From Mantua in 1557. Mamash, exactly what we're talking about. I've been trying to get across the idea that although in the past I've spoken about Venice and Padua, because there was a lot going on there, there certainly was, but it's not the only place. And I would say the other two, this is part of the Italian history. It's part of history in general, which is the places that become chashuv, to one say yeshivas for the time that they do, and then become unchashuv, if I can say it. And I'm thinking specifically of Ferrara and Mantua. Ferrara is associated with Lampronti and people like that. And Mantua, less known. You know, when I went to Italy, we saw like 10, 15 cities in a day or so. No, in a week. But I mean, it was a crazy trip, but we touched a lot. But not Mantua. I remember we did Rome and Siena and Pisa and Livorno and Ferrara. Maybe I'm forgetting something, in Venice and Padua and Verona, a lot of places. Not, but Mantua's not along the way. If you go, you hit Ferrara, you don't hit Mantua. And it's a very pretty scene, all that kind of stuff. But what's Nogea to us is it once had an extremely important Jewish cultural center. For the 1400s, 1500s, and 1600s, I would say, maybe even to the 1700s, but certainly for those centuries, the place was rocking because of the presence of yeshivas. And you know how it goes, it's just like nowadays. If there's a yeshiva in a town and it's somewhat successful, there'll be spin-offs, splinter places. People have a little bit smaller yeshivas, that's happening in Baltimore, or little schools, or little kollels. In addition, if it's Italy, in addition to Haskalah stuff, you know, you'll find people writing on Tanakh, on Hebrew grammar, on the philosophy, poetry. That's how it goes. You know what I'm saying? A place to become a Jewish cultural center of any vibrancy, the foundation, I mean, it's going to sound frum, but I can't help it. The foundation has to be like a Torah thing. It has to be center of Talmudic learning. And then it's add-ons, you know what I'm saying? In other words, that's the beer, and the extra stuff is the foam. And the foam is very interesting, you know? Like drusha books, like the Futsas Yehuda of Moscato and people like that. They are very interesting, but it happens because you have the basics. When you remove the basics, that scholar kind of dies out. This was the big mistake of the Maskilim in the modern era. They thought they could have the foam without the beer. You know what I'm saying? And never worked out. It always lasted a very short time. Never really took hold. And it was a tiny group. And it certainly didn't last for their children. That's an interesting thing I just pointed out. So I'm talking about the Italian Haskalah, which I'm going to speak about in a second. And one of the major places was Mantua. But precisely because it was a Malkum Torah. Remember, Maharik had a big yeshiva there in the 15th century. And certainly in the 16th century and all that sort of thing. So our hero I've been talking about lately, Rabbi Yehuda Moscato, moved to Mantua, and he was in cold air, and this and that and the other. Being that Mantua was more of a breaker-type city, as we shall see. So he had Torah and, what's the right word? Tarm Dercherz. They actually use those words, as you'll see in a second. Torah Limudichol. And if it's the Renaissance Italy, Limudichol would involve what was considered science and liberal arts at that time. And, you know, that would include, by the way, it would include history. History was not in the university curriculum, I don't think. But it would include, you know, language, rhetoric, philosophy, the sciences, stuff like that. That's an Indian that we're going to be talking about. So Mantua, you could learn it with tutors, which is probably the best way to do it, instead of in a formal university setting. I don't believe they had a university there. The university was in Padua and Bologna, Pisa, places like that. They may have one now, but I don't think they have one at that time. But Venice didn't have a university. Padua did. But you can learn in Venice with tutors. They call them colleges, things like that. And, you know, in the fancy schmancy universities, like in Oxford and Cambridge, I think they still have the tutorial system. So anyway, this is what was going on at that time. So since I was talking about somebody in Mantua, and remember, it's a small kahilla. You don't find people to try to explain to an American audience what's going on. Imagine if some rich guy bankrolled a coal of a dozen, 15 families, let's just say, in a town where nobody else was. And it works, you know? No, it comes together. After a while, other people will move there for that reason, and other people for another reason. You'll end up with a community much larger than the original dozen or 15 or 20 families. It could be, if the economy's right. And next thing you know, you could have 100, 200 families. It could be, you know, and maybe more. The base of which was the coal there in the original first place. You know what I'm saying? Original first place. So it wouldn't be a typical Jewish community in the United States of America. A couple hundred families, which was everybody was literate in Hebrew and knew Sfarim and Shiurim and this and that and the other. Maybe they have other stuff as well. But like I say, that would be the foam. The beer was, you know, the original kollel or yeshiva or whatever. It's interesting how these things work. Okay, now, deviating slightly from Moscato. He was there in the second half of the 1500s when this was rocking and rolling. The only problem is, as we saw by the first podcast I did of him, he had the Catholic Counter-Reformation, very anti-Semitic. And the Pope, in the 1550s, burned all the Gemaras. That's another story. I think we talked about it. And people were put in the ghettos. Life became harsh. So you have two competing dynamics. On the one hand, the Jewish stuff is flourishing and spreading. The other hand, the Geisha stuff on the outside is going the other way. And the Duke, look how he tortured our hero. On the other hand, he was good to other people. That's how it was with these Renaissance tyrants. Bertosa Markim and Sosa Makatsar. They could do whatever the heck they want. And they did. They were absolute rulers, but pretty much. Certainly on the Jews. Now, that means when Moscato was there, in the second half of the 1500s, it wasn't just him. There were a lot of others. Even though the community's only 1,000, 1,500 people. But like I just said before, you know, there's a lot of beer. And there's a lot of people that had, you know, knew how to learn. And they also had a lot of fun. A lot of people who, in addition to the learning, and not in contradiction to it, picked up other stuff. Other stuff. So, that's the atmosphere. It's different than Padua, in which you had a university and you had a yeshiva, and formally the two have nothing to do with one another, even though they're a block away from each other. And, you know, that's a different, it's sort of like difference, as you'll see in a second, between YU and Baltimore near Israel, you know. You know what I'm saying? You'll see the difference in a second. Hold on. All right, just have to order something. So what was I saying? You're looking at Mantua, and you saw people that were into both Limudi Kosh and Limudi Chol. I mean, that's what you had over there. I mean, you had big Rabbanim who were into both, which makes Italy, you know, Italy. Now, one of the most interesting facets of this, in the context of what we're talking about, is this document that was in the published in 1564. Now, as I said, in the years we're talking about was when the Catholic Church cracked down, eventually burned all the Gemaras. They didn't destroy everything. So what they're offering over here in this catalog is very interesting. It's a early parchment Ashkenazi sitter from 1557, which is mamish around the time of the burning of the Gemaras. It's interesting. It's an old-fashioned Ashkenazi sitter. And you hear what I said? It's parchment. That's weird. No, that's fancy. That was for a Richie Rich. You know, no, you order like a work of art, a Jewish work of art. Let me see over here. Pages for entire year instructions in Yiddish. Because I told you, the Jews in the north, a lot of them were Ashkenazi Jews who kept speaking Yiddish for a long, long time, although eventually died out. Eventually the Italian took over. Just like in America, the English took over. The present sitter is fully intact and preserved. No other copy. Books printed on parchment were custom ordered and reserved for the rich and the famous. That's what I told you. Or served as gifts to philanthropists and things like this. Parchment was expensive and challenging as a printing medium. So you can imagine what a rich printing zach this is. If you're a player, you know, if you're a player. And it's got like three parts. And for the Jonathan Marvins out there, you got all the Piyutim, the Ashkenazi Piyutim, and so forth for the different holidays. Anyway, it's a classic example of what's coming out of Mantua during this time. Because among other things, it's a printing press place. Not surprising. If there's yeshivas and there's people now to learn, you're going to have people now to read. They can work in a printing shop, can be proofreaders, all that sort of thing. Now, I'm not talking tonight about the publication of Zohar there in Mantua, which is actually a very interesting phenomenon, but I'm leaving that alone. Maybe another time. But one of the most important families, which I mentioned before, was the Provinciali. That's their name, which obviously means they're originally from Provence in Spain. There was a fair number of French Jews in the southern, especially what we would call today the southeastern part of France. Think of Marseille and north of that, and Lyon and so forth. And the Jews had not been kicked out of some of those places in the original expulsion of the Jews of Spain in the, of France in the 1300s. But eventually they got around to him. That Galeria Louis XII in the late 1400s, early 1500s, I mean, he kicked them all out. So they went to Italy, a lot of them. If you remember, the Maharik was originally something like that. This is French Minhag. We don't have this anymore. You know what I'm saying? It died. It's Minhag France. It's not identical with the Minhag of Rashi. It's based on it, but it's not. So it's just a whole certain type. And some of these guys knew how to learn heavy. And when they moved this to North Italy, they had Italian Talmidim to bring over the French stuff. So if you have a family in the 16th century called Provençale, you know, you can tell they're originally from Provence. And they were big guys. The first one was in the 1400s and so on and so forth. The Rebbe of our hero of Moscato was Ramosha Provençale. He was a famous rabbi in the 16th century. I'm not going to go into him now. I'm going to save him for another time. But his brother, I think, was David Provençale, Provençale. They're all the same type. They're big in Shas and Poskim. And they also know Limud Chol. And they also know Haskalah. Okay, they know Haskalah. Including how to read and write Hebrew very well. And the time I'm talking about is already 1560s. As you can sort of see from the story I told you about a Moscato being trapped in the dungeon and all the rest of it by that Mamzer, the Duke. So, Duke William, Guglielmo. So, you can see what life was like. And one of the problems was Parnassa. And when I say Parnassa, how you make a Parnassa? Now, you see, you go into business. That is certainly one way, no question about it. Remember, in a lot of places outside of Mantua, Jews are not allowed to go in business. One way that you can definitely go into business is if you have a profession. The only professions at that time are doctor and lawyer. Lawyers, they need a very, very small number of Jewish lawyers in the courts. Very small. To handle certain types of cases. Cecil Roth wrote about that. I remember in the book on Venice. You know, so lawyers is a very tiny group of Jews who'll be allowed to take law school. But medicine, there's no limit. So if people want to go MD, you know, you can do it. So any Jewish guy with a little bit of brains, so like, you know, like today, go for a doctor. Because you can make a pronosa and be Jewish. Now, I've told you many times, the University of Padua did indeed allow Jewish students to go there. To a lesser degree, some of the other universities, especially Bologna and Pisa, there were some rabbonim, famous people went to those
universities for medical faculty, you know, to get an MD. But it was getting schwacher and schwacher. Plus, and here's the key point. What's it like to go to college in Italy, at any time, but in Italy, if there's not much Yiddishkeit around, it's not a safe situation. Padua, as I keep telling you many times in podcasts, was unusual because the Jewish community was a block away. And the Jewish community had, I guess you'd say, special study programs for the medical students. That's what Ramchal hung around with when he was young. So if I'm going to Padua, yes, when I'm in the building of the university and that whole life, I'm surrounded by people who are Christians. That is true. And, you know, wine, women, and song. That's the life of a student then and now. But a block away, I'd go back to, you know, my Jewish fortress, so to speak. And it's taka behind the wall because it was a ghetto. And there you have Shivas and Kolios. They had the Caneliano family I told you about that, you know, was a Jewish dorm where you had kosher food, minions, and classes. So I'll use the word a Frum Hillel house. Think along those lines. A Frum Hillel house. Maybe like some Chabad places. You know, I'm not familiar with them, but I, you know, the basic idea I know, Chabad places on campuses. You know, it's a safe Jewish place. What if you were in Bologna or Pisa or Milan or one of these other places that had universities? It wasn't so posh. Jewish community was a lot more schwach, and a lot of times the Jewish community had been kicked out. You're in Goyville, baby, and it's not posh. So it's very interesting and famous, or it will be in a second, that in the 1560s, this most chashuv family of Talmidei Chachamim and Maskilon in Mantua came up with the idea, you know how to solve this problem? Why you? Yeshiva University. Let's make a Yeshiva University, literally, here in Mantua. All I need is money. Right? And he wrote a famous broadside, a public letter, which he sent around to all the Richie Riches of Northern Italy. They didn't respond, though, but Richie Riches of Northern Italy. And he said, come up with the bucks, and I will undertake to create a Yeshiva University, certainly Yeshiva College. That's a little more accurate. Yeshiva plus a college all in one. And the advantages will be obvious. Being a Jewish environment, you won't hear things that are against the Jewish religion. Matter of fact, the opposite is you'll see. We will burn out, purge any of the false hashkafas that they have. We'll teach people to be proud Jews and from Jews. And we'll do most of the medical school stuff. Can't give you an MD, but, you know, all you'll need is 2 years of medical school. You will have taken all the courses. You know what I mean? You need the last 2 years of medical school. So that's mamish like why you originally was like. You went to college, and then if you have to go to graduate school, you go to graduate school a little bit. Which is a safe environment. Now, I know in the history of YU, they didn't like to put it that way. So Dr. Revel and the others talked about synthesis and Torah and Mada and all this other kind of stuff, which I'm not knocking or saying they didn't mean it, but that was because he wanted to put American idealistic framework going. The bottom line is, he wanted a place where a Jewish kid could go there and not lose his Yiddishkeit. There's nothing wrong with that. You see? There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You get a college education and a from environment. What's the problem? In the 1920s and 30s, it sounded too parochial. This is, I'm telling you my opinion. And so he wanted to say, oh, no, we want to expose him to the best of both worlds. We want a combination of Harvard and Belushin, like you used to say, and all that kind of stuff. Shine. But the real bottom line is, you want to think that a Jewish guy will go to a Jewish place and he'll have the Torah studies. It'll be Yishama Shabbos. And hopefully you'll meet a girl in Stern or something like that whenever they develop a Stern. And they'll get married and have a Jewish family. No, there's nothing wrong with any of that. Okay? So he ain't the first guy to come up with this. First guy to come up with this was David Provenzalo, who's a brother of Moshe Provenzalo. This is a buddy of our hero, Moscato. Rabino Moscato. These guys hung around in the ghetto of Mantua. They were the kindred spirits. They saw each other all the time. And they both come from the same environment, which is, they have in themselves Torah and Derech Eretz. They knew the Torah stuff cold. And they also knew the liberal arts stuff cold, as this was understood in the Renaissance. the classics, the Roman and Greek classics, you know, the new European science, which is moving at a snail's pace, but is moving, and things like that. And they combine it, of course, with a passion for Yiddishkeit. And so the idea comes, and remember, the Pope is cracking, excuse me, don't feel so good. The Pope is cracking down and burning the Gemaras and putting people in ghettos and putting all kinds of Xeris. They were putting all kinds of Xeris on them. It wasn't fun. This would be a good response. Started Yeshiva University, Mamashir Mantua. And he wrote a public letter, which you can find in that golden oldie, Simcha Asaf's Mekorot L'Toldot HaChinuch, and I don't forget volume, whatever. The one in Italy, you know. I think it's volume 2. And I remember Jacob Rader Marcus in that old source book they always been using for college history, Jewish history courses since the 1930s, when it was put up to, out there. He taught in the Reform in Cincinnati, and he liked that, so he put it all in English, or most of it in English. It's better in Hebrew. And this is the appeal sent by Rabbi David Provenzalo out there to all the richy riches, to hoping that they'll bankroll this idea for Mamasha Yeshiva University. And nothing wrong with it. There's not anything unfirm with this whatsoever. And he says, Eile ho'edis v'chuchim ha'mishpatim she'sofen le'eskayim be'ezer atzor be'migdash mat le'torah u'beis vad le'chochma asher bikesh lasas be'veso v'chamoso v'chamoso po mantua by Moreno Dub Provenciallo Piva Madabra Lechem. And in other words, this is the introduction, which he says this is the idea for a YU in his own house. The school will start in his house, depending on how many students. And he says it's in flowery Hebrew, of course. And I'll see how long it takes to read it. Maybe I'll do it in two parts, but anyway, listen to this. Ra'isi ani David is Hamara Hamara Bachazus Akosha. I've seen the tough, bad situation. Kibabonasenu Sharabu Nismatu Halavobos Lam Shamela. We have a Nismatu Halavobos, which can mean that people are dumber, or it can also mean that we don't have the same passion. You know, too much Geisha civilization. Ubinus Nivane Nistora, and the wisdom of our wise people, this is a pasuk in Yishayo, is being broken. Be'ein Maven Lamas Makoma, and there's no successors. In other words, the basic idea is like this. We need intelligent from YU grads. You know, like I said before, it can be a brain surgeon and do a daf yomi. That's what he's looking for, and we're losing that. Kol shekein achar hilok achar elohim achman adenu, especially after the arm was taken from us, he must be referring to the fact that all the Gemaras are being burned. Veinu rahashav, and there's no chance for getting them back. Ki hoysu bonu yad Hashem, betochachos al oven li yastro son, we're suffering from terrible gzeiris from Hashem. Lo asachin l'chol goy, ki agoy mashah ani bekarbam, olam mailam mailam, the Goyim, Fashtunkana, are rising in the Renaissance. They're making great strides in every area of Limud Chol, right? You know, in the sciences and the liberal arts. The Jewish community is alone and helpless. Dala, Ross, Tarma, Oh, looks bare. Kizeb, Sura, Kitsona, Shein, Lemura. So he's expressing the feeling that we need, in order to get respect from the Goyim, we need people who are, like I say, rabbis and PhDs, who show that they're intelligent people. You see? Become Hador Hazeh, Babani Manol, Dermashkiya Sechamo, Biasim Senu, Kamishal Roth Miyamov. And the result is we're going to have a new generation. They're a bunch of dummies. They never saw the sun. Alzeh Hoyadov Libi, Valdov Ado Kabachino, Al Hai Shofer de Balaara, you know what that means. Ani Zokin, Baba Yamin. I'm old. Kinesi Hashem Tzosa, Sanhedrin, Yeshivas, Shagobalius Him. I'm crying over the fact that the Yeshivas have been destroyed. The Pope did that in a lot of places. V'hoyu kalohoyu. V'yareisi Shem Achas V'shalom, Asida Toshet Tishachach. And I see, I'm afraid the Torah will be forgotten, which, by the way, is exactly what happened in Italy 200 years later. Gamra Izi Shari, and I see a scandal. Manichin Chayol, Mosin Chayshot. The young people or going to college because they're interested in Parnos, they're not interested in the Torah. They're Manichin Chayolim and Oskim Chayishav. O B'chachim Sechitzonias, O B'batikir Shalgayim, they're going, learning foreign subjects, Gaisha subjects,
in universities. He calls it Batikir Kirshul Goyim, Vilam de Masen, and they're picking up being influenced by the Goyim. And the Torah is crying because they're making a bracha on the tafel, not the ikar, meaning they're making primary the limudi chol, and the limudi kodesh is secondary, meaning they're ignoring that, because the limudi chol is more interesting. I've consulted with the angels. Chukah chakakti gzira gazarti. My house, I'll turn into a college. Anybody free admission? If you're interested in Torah and Teuda, which means Torah and good stuff, come over here. I have a cellar full of Yayin, HaTorah, and Chachma, meaning you can get the yeshiva stuff, you get the university stuff. Yishta v'yishkach reshel. Let him come to my house, meaning join my school, and drink and forget his bad feelings. Ki loma nigar mikol umus. Why should we be inferior to all the goyim, the Italians, who are learning science and literature and all this? Ashi yishlam olmod b'shevis takamoni. They got universities, and we don't. Right? That's disgusting. Umakam mukhan loma nechachin muzin. They have special places to learn all the sciences and the arts. And they got big universities with lots of students. Hello, Gambon di Breshem. Actually, hello, Bon di Breshem. It's not to these Italians that God spoke. He spoke to us in Har Sinai. For I learned a lot to speak with Satsila Bene Yisrael. So we should copy the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and elsewhere, where big yeshivas are thriving. You see, in the 16th century, there was a certain revival, not a revival, a vival. Of yeshivas in a place that hadn't been before, especially in Eretz Yisrael. In the 1400s, there had been yeshivas in Spain and places like that. In the 1500s, there were no Jews in Spain and Portugal, but they're starting up in the Middle East, in Turkey, especially in Israel, what he calls the Yesheretz HaTzvi. And you know there's a special zechus of learning Eretz Yisrael. Bezes HaShchina, Esteres HaShalom, Esozer, the Shchina is still there. Ulay Shasim Li Olam Echad. Maybe Hashem will help us out to be an Am Echad. And may Rosh Hashanah and Chavolena Gambar says Ael, but we who live here in the Golis in Italy, Lahagdil Torah Lahadira, we want to make Lahagdil the city. In other words, it's the Yeshiva University, but the Yeshiva is the Iker. Okay, I want to be clear about that. He says, Lahagdil Torah Lahadira, you'll have the English too, but the Yeshiva is the Iker. Adyar Alena Mitroch Mimar Mashivinik Lachonet Beis Chaynu until Mashiach time. Van Iti Yeh Bani Hagadol Hamusuk Las Refua. The first professor, now here he comes very yeshivish. The first teacher and professor in the university will be my son. Now you know it's yeshivish, right? The nepotism. Ashagam behem hitziv lo yad achoy kviyas yubse Hashem, because he's a Talmud Chacham and he's also a doctor. Begam hu yilei meir le'ezer, and he'll help me out. Minim minei tistayim milso. Between the two of us, we can run the place. Tova shenuchav zim amach edenu. And you know, like the Gemara said, that's a pasuk. We'll hold on to the yeshiva stuff, and we won't let go of the university stuff. V'nisasik b'torah v'chachmas. We'll have a dual program. V'eila dvorim she'nishma l'asas bezagum aleinu. And if Hashem helps us, this is the program, the curriculum. T'ram v'yashu v'kamer b'chlal v'at ish lo yedar. We'll make sure everybody sticks to this. Yiram mehena. And if we have a lot of students, yilei b'koch yaseh kol she'yav etziyu k'mish b'tein kol b'ez v'tzroh. Our place will flourish. And then he has these paragraphs. What the curriculum of this yeshiva university will be. And he says, Rishona, Asimi Atamidim, Vashkocha Pratis, Lakam Relivim, Kol Shorish Per Das Kose, Imi Marzah Chasrishon. The first thing we have to do is get a Mashkiach, I'll be the Mashkiach, to uproot out of them all their Deos Kozvas, you know, all their false ideas. Because they're not learned or anything like that. And they're full of all kind of nutty ideas they picked up here and there. And we have to teach them what the Yiddishkeit is really about. So to uproot the bad plants, and instead of their place, to plant in them, Emunas Tovas V'Deus Yisharas. Al Piyator, Rabbi Sainazal, Ayapim B'Libam Shom B'Chom Ha'asem L'Shem Shemayim. Teach them how to be from Jews. So we have to give them the right Hashkafa, that's the first thing. Koroi L'Chol Yehudi Kosher, like kosher Jews. His reason mitzvah sichas ma'asiyach, and they should be his reason in all the mitzvahs
Sichlius and Mysius. And there will be a davening. In other words, the students will expect to go for davening. And they'll pick up the good thing. In other words, I assume he's talking about guys who already went to Geisha schools or colleges or universities, and they picked up the life of the students of that time, wine, women, and song. So we have to, which was literally true. So we have to, get him into a more yeshivish kind of way of thinking. Number two, Abachur Mashigavam Chusarts Lumibesi. People who come here from away, far away to learn here, I'm going to provide them in my house or wherever a dorm room. Mito, Shulchan, Kise, Menorah. Right? Dorm room. Mito, Shulchan, Kise, Menorah. And they'll have stipends. So in other words, the tuition is free and the room and board is free. And we'll make sure that we have like common meals. And we'll make sure that every meal is Torah and Derech Eretz. Here it means Torah and Derech Eretz, good meals. They teach them good manners. Here you have the college idea, which doesn't exist nowadays. The old original college idea, which is everybody's together and they eat together, all the rest of it. And that's where you pick up your good manners and your Derech Eretz. He's going to do it in a Jewish way. I love that puzzle. It's from this week's Parsha. They'll see God, mean they'll do the Torah stuff. And also do the mikol, and they'll learn how to eat properly at a Torah-dika meal. The curriculum is, you have to be a 5-year curriculum. Because the Gemara says in Chulin, you need 5 years to see if you have a siman yafa in your learning. Minimal 3 years. So it's a 5-year program, minimally a 3-year program. The Iker learning will be Yesod HaKol, Torah B'Shevik Sa'a B'Shevik Torah Shabal Peh. Okay? So you see the Maskilik Sa'a, the emphasis on the Torah Shabik Sa'a. V'imizakenu Hashem La'achzei HaTorah L'Yoshlan, L'shtus Mayim B'Bei R'chaim V'Necholim Min Alavonan. If we're able to be show progress in basic learning, then Aruchas Tomek and called Racham HaKolim V'Dik Tukum HaShayachin, Goris V'Doig, then we'll teach them Lomdus, Halachas, Tosus, Poskim, Ishma Kamiyav Lashalom, Vein, Be'ulai Tizachas Hasagosenion. If it takes a while, if we have to start with losers or something, Naskan Piski Arif, Haran, right? Maybe he's talking about the fact that if there are no Gemaras, because the Pope is burning all the Gemaras. So we'll do with the Rif and the Ram, best you can do. He's a Kenosh Shem Shirba, a Talmidim Atiach Nosam Ruba. And if our project is successful and we make money, now become Sham Bashas Halocha Khabir Makshim Anshikab Rachim Mupom Mifupom Gami Kaka Ashkenazin. Oh, we'll import some guys from Punavish from Lakewood, so it's big Lamdonim, and they'll help the other guys in the base medrash, to make progress in Lamdas. Isn't it interesting? He says Kharif Mufom Mikaka Ashkenazin. So there must have been the yeshiva there. That's probably the yeshiva of Moshe Provenzal, the brother. That was a pure yeshiva. And the best guys will come, and as we say today, they'll talk and learning with our students. Afil b'schar, k'day losis b'lez pilpo nos. Teach them how to learn pilpo. Mitel b'kul disbar halacha, but it'll be a pilpo like the Netziv. Aimed towards halacha l'maisa, right? Not stamazoi. I mean, this is 16th century over here. It'll be lumdus aimed at halacha l'maisa. And we talk about doing a b'yiru talmidei yismachu, and they'll be able to figure out the din through lumdus. V'yiknu deya ubina b'haskil b'sini b'okur harm b'kias and ian l'damas davar olahavim davar mitoch davar b'yan b'yanu afheim chalkam t'kagon zeh chukasech lechem hu. The bottom line is, it'll be a very solid yeshiva education, as we would say today. Also, you have the Haskalah part. Al Torah Shabiksav Nikra Mubchir Beforshim Achadoshim. What will be in the Bible studies? We use the best Beforshim. Obviously the Mikra's Gedolos and that sort of thing. Begam Yishanim, the old and new Beforshim. Remember, he lived in the time right after the Sforno, for example. Bein Linyan Bira Mitzvahs and Mishpatim Adin Mal Shoshim Yisinin. Whether for the practical halacha side,
Or, you know, a Barbanel style or something like that, to teach you the right divine philosophy. And basically, I have my own chedushin on the Tanakh. Right? That's what he says. So they'll have a full Bible program in a very firm way with Mefarshim and Midrashim and all the rest of it. Number three, the next one. Nikra Lefomim, the Pirkei Philosophias, Amenu. We'll learn, you know, Rambam, Kuzri, that kind of thing. Hato Maskim and Darchi HaTorah, the kosher philosophy books. Kedei Lekbo Yateit Mokam Nehman, to plant a solid thing in their hearts. Laharki Shabushim Adeus HaKozer Re'uzim, give them the right Ashkafas and take away the wrong Ashkafas. Lizrok Aleim Maim Tehorin, B'Darchi HaTorani Chachma Semes, etc. And to pour in them Maim Tehorin from the best Jewish thinkers, the Torah thinkers of Emes V'Zed. Like I said before, you know, the Jewish pantheon, the Mordechai, the Kuzri, the Chovos HaLevavos, you know, that sort of thing. Then Nikvi Tim L'Diktik Lashon HaKodesh. So far, everything on the curriculum is what do you call it? Is Hebrew, not in English yet. Nikvi Tim L'Diktik Lashon HaKodesh Labo B'Soda L'As Drachah. We'll have a full dictic program, Ivrit, as we say today. Shekam Ikrim Tluim Bo Bidiyas Amitz Pesukei Mikra. You can't understand Tanakh without the dictic. Havanas Yisodos HaNevelam Tachtin. V'Kamo Kim B'Darchei Mesoris. They'll teach them stuff about the Mesorah Gedol, Mesorah Ketana, you know, the biblical text. Now, you know, this is obviously too ambitious of a program. Every prospectus is like this. They promise the world. But if he did half of this, it would still be impressive. Okay? We'll have public speaking class. Right? I know who's going to be the teacher of that. Our buddy, Moscato, Lichtem Misharim, and how to write well, master Hebrew, Pam Shabbat Baruch Pam Mitzara, you know, this way or that way, Kirtzoni Shlish Ba'alocha, in Vishirayim Shkulim, Lishim Shkulim Adrachim Allah, Tova Amishorim. We'll teach him Hebrew poetry. How to do a poem right. Because this is the Renaissance. You have to be a mensch. You have to know some of the basic liberal arts stuff. You're a garnish if you can't write a poem, you know? That sort of thing. Gam Yom Gideon Maksiv Ashuras. We'll have Hebrew penmanship. They still have that in school. Yeshuras was it said, Bashar Min Ksibas Evrios. Maisi Yom Gideon Sof Mizral. That way there'll be a lot of literate people who can be Sofrim. They know how to. I don't think he means. Writers of Sefer Torahs, it might mean that also. That could be very well. But it means community officials that can write in Hebrew. We'll supply that. So, like I said before, it's a full Torah and a full Haskalah program. The Haskalah being a firm thing, not an unfirm thing. Then, in different than that, B'shos Miuchadus at certain times, Yomadu Lashon Latino. They learn Latin. Leos Kamo Hechri Vizman Hazebagilusim. You're not anybody if you don't learn Latin, right? It's necessary in our in Italy to be a mensch, be considered any kind of intellectual, get any respect for the guy. You got to know Latin. I took 4 years of Latin in TA in high school, believe it or not. And we have to employ Latin all the time when we deal with all the Gaish officials, the Pachas Eskanim. But not so long Kater. So, in other words, don't ask a question about Gaisha language. You got to use it. Remember, the Gemara says the base rabbi, they let him have Gaisha haircuts, things like this, because they had to deal with the government. The rabbis now, and the graduates of this school, also have to deal with the government. They'll be the Jewish officials. Everybody got to know Latin. Biyasa Lashon Kodesh, Lashon Italiano, Yafa. We'll teach them Hebrew, good Hebrew, good Latin, good Italian. Next one. Those who learn Latin well, you could be safe for a chacham sigayin philosophy of war. They'll learn the Latin classics, okay, in logic, philosophy, and medicine. I believe the medical texts in the universities were all in Latin at that time. You know, they'll make progress little by little.
Leosis Rufi, Nitzachal Koshum Bistudio, Ben Akoim, Ba'avon Bittel Torah.
And our curriculum in this school will make it that you can cover most of your college credits and most of your medical school credits here in my school, in my Yeshiva University. Okay? So like I say, you'll have to do a little at the end with the Goyim, with the regular university. But I'm minimizing, the amount. Call me Shir Talias Rofe. Anybody wants to be a doctor? Lo Yitzchak Lavalis, call Yom Shnos of the studio. But you won't have to spend years and years studying in the Goyish universities, Ba'avon Bittel Torah, Rak Yislam and Mizeh B'mat Kol Tzarech. In my university, in my yeshiva college, you learn Mat Kol Tzarech, the minimum, notice what you need to do for the credits, for the what the requirements. And you'll see, you'll come in with enough knowledge that you won't have to, it won't take you too long to get your MD in school. You won't have to spend a long time in the university. Right? And we'll even have a program for the med students in my yeshiva university. They'll have, what do they call it nowadays? Rotation, right? You go in the hospital, visit patients. Actual stuff. You'll do the praktika in Rofim Mumchi Yehudim Benotrin. We have a mantle, in other words, Jewish and Goyisha doctors. Vavabilti Yodim Loshanatino, and those who don't know Latin yet, Yikra Chos Loshanakodesh. There are plenty of the classics in Latin that were over the centuries translated Hebrew. We'll teach you in Hebrew. And you'll be able to save time. Doesn't matter if you're in a many medical texts were translated into Hebrew over the course of the Middle Ages. So it doesn't matter what you read in as long as the content is correct. It all depends on the inyonim and not the lashonis. If you know the content. What else do they offer? We'll teach you good calligraphy in the European alphabet, the Goyish alphabet. We'll have experts teach you how to write well. We'll teach you all the mathematics stuff. I guess that means, geometry, algebra, different math things, all right? And Shar HaGeos HaLimudis Islam Duyugul Behen, Barithmatica, Geometria, the Cosmographia, Cosmography, Astrologia, astrology was a science, I guess. HaKol Yimsu Po Be Nesenun, Yitzchak Anivano. Now, I want you to understand, this guy and his son, they know all this stuff. So basically, they expect two teachers will teach 20 classes a day. I don't know how they're going. Magas, we'll teach you everything we know. And if we need more, we'll hire tutors and professors. Right? And we will have, this is a good idea. We'll have mock basins, let's call it that, so you can practice Choshen Mishpat. Yakuma Nor Vishakul Fanevisvaku Khad Mikhan Bedin Alochas. They'll have debates and stuff like that on halacha matters and on geisha subjects. We'll have public speaking. And if we get a lot of students, we'll hire more faculty. Nobody will suffer from lack of faculty if the bucks come in. This is the basic program. There is a Rabbanu Shalom who runs the world. And don't say, you who live in the Italian cities, you can always say, go to the Yeshiva University in Mantua. Right? And the son confirms it. There's a little more where he asked for money. He asked for money.
Is it interesting? Yeah. I'll read it. What the heck? Calls any sisi b'chochma di his son. No, the father is writing this. Kidei le'orir rashi am kadosh. I'm appealing to the big shots and the richy riches. Anshe akilas ala sheyaskivu l'hagdol keser ator b'chochma miyuchah al seder anal. That they'll raise a tor b'chochma. V'yosem yimena b'yishiv gedol shel chacham sofrim b'me'on hakodesh makom mikdash hifkid hapokid hamuna lov. It'll be in a special house. Knows we'll have the right housing. L'hatil malei l'kiso. And we'll be able to provide stipends. Medina every year, we want every city in Italy, every Jewish community, to kick in money. Kein l'chol mitzvah gedol mizu. Kishkol k'neged kol mitzvahs. Aki gadol yeh kovod habayis hazeh. This can be a glory for Italian Jewry. It's proper for all the people who can to contribute. To open their hands. We need a lot of money. And then we can get more people. We can have a bigger faculty. And each professor can deal with his own subject. Because you can tell the ambitious curriculum we have requires more than two people. It'd be very hard to run a program like that. By the way, I told you once, Hildesheimer did this. He taught like 20 subjects. Crazy if you look at his schedule. I remember the guy ended up teaching 60 hours a week. I do not know how you do that. Hear what I said? 60 hours a week. Think about that, okay? So we'll need money to hire faculty and all the rest of it to do it properly. Especially, we'll also need different classes. So, in other words, math the first year has one professor, math the second year has another guy, math the third year has another guy, that sort of thing, right? Maybe the communities will come and pay the salaries. Some to teach the Torah parts, the local parts, others to teach the secular parts. We have Hakol Ola Yofa Gamdor Shinitsu. Right? And it goes on like this. Now, I said for a joke, not so much for a joke. Suppose this would have pulled off. So who would have been the history professor? The answer is Azari De Rossi, the controversial guy who wrote the Mori 9. He was in Padua exactly this time. He was friends with all these guys. The only thing is, if you know the history of the history profession, there was no such thing as a professor of history, department of history, in those centuries. History was a small piece of philosophy. So, would he have written the Mori 9? I have to look up the years. In other words, let's put it this way. You might have had a big fight about left-wing views in the yeshivish environment. Alternatively, he might have said, I want to keep my job. I won't write anything. So, somebody could write a very speculative, nice essay. What if they would have had the university in Padua, in Mantua, and Azari De Rossi would have been the history professor? We'll never know. Obviously, this was a very interesting program. There was an attempt like this a century before, they say, in Sicily. I don't think they ever got off the ground. This was obviously thought out. It's not a bad curriculum. The only thing is, it costs a lot of money. A school like it costs a lot of money, because even in the end, when I was reading him, he said, we'll have to hire more faculty and all the rest. So he started out by writing, me and my son can handle the whole thing, but you can't. Right? A 5-year college, I mean, for all these subjects, seriously, you tell me, how many faculty do you need, right? How many rabbis for 5 years? And by him, there's a separate rabbi for Gemara and Halacha, let's say, and a separate rabbi for Tanakh and Haskalah stuff. Teach, right, Ksiva, and public speaking, all the other stuff. I mean, it's a big faculty. You understand? And then you talk about the English, the liberal arts, the rhetoric, the logic, the philosophy, and then the mathematics, like I say, the geometry, and all the other types of math stuff that they had over there. You can just imagine, plus the medical, a medical track. So you have to take med courses. My goodness, okay? So the idea was great, but it was too great, meaning it's too big and expensive. And I think that's why, I don't know why, I suspect that's why I never got off the ground. That's what I think. But it goes to show you that Mantua was not your typical community. They were fully prepared. if the money would come in, to run an operation like this. And then you really have a most remarkable community. You have 1,000, 1,500 people, something like that. Let's say 2,000. It wasn't quite that number. But you'd have, I don't know, hundreds. I mean, hundreds of YU students running down all over the place in the small ghetto. Would have been really something quite unusual, quite interesting. And it can only be thought of happening in Italy because it's totally from. They had all these people were very from. They all, whatever you just read, in their mind was a Shem Shamayim. There's no question about that, right? No question about that. But they had a very broad conception of what's a Shem Shamayim. And they're always very conscious because the Italian Jews lived in small numbers. They always had interactions, intercourse with people who were not Jewish. And they wanted that Jews should be respected. And so the ideal they're setting up is mamash a Torah model type ideal, in which, like I said before, everybody in the community has a profession. And yes, it's an Orthodox Jewish community, but this one's a doctor, that one's a lawyer, this one's this, that and the other. It will give the Jews a certain elite feeling. If they're not, the goyim don't appreciate just the Talmud Chacham. You know, just a pure yeshiva, it was hard to get any kind of respect out of that. So this goes to show you what this remarkable community of Mantua, which I don't think we know so much about, was like. And as I said before, it's just coincidental, interesting, that there's a number of items in this Gnosim catalog. Again, the Grand Winter Event. No, the auctions are going to be on Sunday, March 3, and Tuesday, March 5, in a couple weeks. But as I'm going through this, as you can imagine, I have all these treasures, if you can afford it, and a fair number from Mantua, right? This is just interesting. I picked the one in the sitter because it's really a richy rich item, and it's on the cover, so it caught my attention. But I remember I flipped through the different pages, and there's a fair number of stuff that was printed either in Venice or in Mantua. And as I said before, Venice is somewhat known. Anybody who's listened to Misa has come across Venice a fair amount of time. Mantua is just like a name. You know, it's like a, where is it? A town in Italy. Okay. And it's not true. It was a lot more than that. So the idea that somebody could come up and propose the beginnings of what would be, let's call it a successful yeshiva university, it was not attacked, as far as I can tell, for being treif in and of itself. It's not like a Brian Cutler or something like that. It sounds more like, you know, it just didn't happen because they get off the ground. I'll repeat one last time. All the people involved were very front, okay? Whatever they did, they meant well. But they thought out of the box. That's it. Anyway, once again, I want to thank the Stefanskis and the Gnosim people for sponsoring this. And we're not done with Mantua yet. We shall see. Again, if you're interested, go online. I'm sure they must have the catalog that I'm looking at must be online at gnozim.com, GENAZYN. And with that, I wish everybody a good tovach. By the way, I'm going to be in Florida, in Orlando next Shabbos because of the yeshiva weekend stuff. I got to go with my children and grandchildren. I know exactly where we're staying, but I'll figure it out by the next time.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.